Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host, Teron Davenport, and I'm here to talk you guys off the ledge. Do not jump, whatever you do. The season's almost over. 5-9 record for the Eagles. You got two more games, both against NFC East opponents. So what's left in the season? Well, I'll tell you what's left. What's left is the opportunity to end on a good note. And that's what this Eagles team is looking to do. Man, what a game, though. At least one thing you had was a game-tying, what would have been a game-tying drive or possibly a game-winning drive by the Eagles late in the game. That team didn't quit. And I think that's the major thing that you have to take out of this game. You look at the interception, Jordan Hicks, you know, was able to step in front of that Joe Flacco pass and pick it off and return it to the 40, putting the Eagles in position to get a score, you know. And those are the things that you have to take solace in when you're watching a game like this. And this is a team that, you know, really didn't have any business being in the game with the Ravens. But, I mean, that's why you play the game. The Ravens are a team that was playing for a right to go to Pittsburgh next week and challenge for the AFC North Division title. This Eagles team, they were playing for pride, and you could tell. You could really tell that these guys were looking to make it happen. And I have to, you know, give Doug Peterson props for running the football. He stuck to the run early, even though it wasn't working. They kept hammering away. And this is what I've been talking about all season. This is what I've been saying when I said this team had to find balance on offense. 38 rush attempts as compared to 42 pass attempts. And look at the results. 169 total yards rushing. 4.4 average per carry. 2 touchdowns. This is what you needed out of this team. That offensive line, Isaac Seumalo, you have to give him credit. He went out and played on the island at right tackle after being so used to playing inside where things happen so fast. I mean, playing inside versus outside, you know, interior offensive lineman versus tackle, that's difficult. And as a rookie, Seumalo bumped outside, and he did an excellent job. So you have to give him credit for that. I think that, you know, this offensive line, Brandon Brooks playing, Jason Kelce, man, coming into this game, I pointed out something, you know, Brandon Brooks and Timmy Jernigan, Mike Pierce as well, going against Jason Kelce, man. They gave him, they should have given him a lot of trouble. And Kelce held his own, so you have to, you know, shout him out as well. And Jason Peters played well. This offensive line played well, man. Ryan Matthews ran the ball. He was able to get downhill. And I'm telling you, he made a case for bringing him back. You know, it's just crazy because, you know, you look at a player like Ryan Matthews, and it's frustrating watching him because he's so good when he's on, when he's healthy. But he just cannot stay healthy. And I know that's something that the Eagles are really going to have to take a long, hard look at. Obviously, there's an abundance of running backs coming out in this draft, you know, whether it be Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, you know, the list goes on and on. Danelle Pumphrey, McCaffrey, there are a lot of guys. But I tell you, Ryan Matthews, Byron Marshall, I think, also made a case for strong consideration next year. Marshall had a really nice run, that 10-yard run that he had. He gave Terrell Suggs a little whoop whoop and made him miss. And man, what can you say about Byron Marshall? The rookie came in, and he was actually the player, the running back, on that final drive. And obviously, there were a lot of questions about Ryan Matthews not being in on that drive, not being in on a two-point conversion. I talked to Marshall after the game, and he said that they were in their two-minute package. And in the two-minute package all week, it was Byron Marshall and KenJohn Barner working at running back. Obviously, Barner had the hamstring injury that took him out of the game. So, by default, Byron Marshall was the running back. It was the package that they were in, and that's pretty much that. I don't fault Doug Peterson for the play call. I don't fault Doug Peterson for not having Matthews in the game. Yes, you want to have him in the game because you want to show that threat of against the run, but they were in cover zero. They had the blitz coming. So regardless of whether you show threat against of running the football or not, they were in their cover zero. That's what the Ravens do. Late in the game, when it's on the line, they cover zero and blitz. That's how it works. Doug Peterson saw that. The Eagles coaching staff saw that. They know that, and that's why they went to that play call. And I tell you what, Jordan Matthews was able to, and he explained this. I wrote about this on the Eagles wire. He was able to cross Gerard Powers' face. He got inside. And, man, if C.J. Mosley doesn't knock the ball down, that's a two-point conversion. And everybody's calling Doug Peterson the GOAT. But you know how it works. As Ryan Matthews said, you know, you make the call and it happens, you're a winner or a hero. And if it doesn't, then, you know, they call you the opposite. And that's just the way it goes in this league. We are, when I say we, because I'm talking about media, fans, analysts, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I'll put it to you that way. So it's always easy for us to sit there and say, you should have done this or should have done that. But man, in the heat of the moment, when it's on the line, I don't think it was a bad call. I really don't. And you have to respect the approach, you know, the aggressive approach to go for the win. I mean, what do they have to lose? Really, what do they have to lose? It was an opportunity for Doug Peterson to show confidence in his players, and that's exactly what he did. So, you know, I don't really think that there's, you know, anything bad about that decision. It was a good decision. And, I mean, like I said, it's their last road game. You know, you're going against a Ravens team who's playing for an opportunity to stay in the playoffs, you know, stay in contention for the playoffs. And Eagles made a good play. They had the momentum. I mean, everybody mentions momentum going into overtime. Well, what about momentum on that two-point conversion? Think about that. I don't think it was a bad play call at all. That's my, you know, my opinion, and that's just where I'm coming from. But you know, you're going to have some who don't like the play call, and that's fine. But I tell you what, you know, they're going to be back against the Giants. So guess what you could do on Thursday? Go out and support your team. How can you do it? It's real simple. Go to SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and go ahead and search for the tickets on Thursday. They're going to be hard to get. So I tell you, here's the thing about SeatGeek. It's the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for football games you want to see up close and in person. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. Folks, you could go to the game, on the way to the game, and buy tickets. That's what I did when I was in Seattle to see my Washington Huskies. Now, I say my Washington Huskies, but, seriously speaking, that's what I did when I went to go see the Huskies, you know, against Arizona State. It was a good opportunity to watch a couple prospects, but just looking at SeatGeek, man, you always get the best seat, the best value, and it's the best deal on every ticket. SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, you guys, my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter this promo code, LOEAGLES. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOEAGLES. So what I want to do now is just take a look at the passing game, because I tell you what, there's a lot that was left to be desired in the passing game. And I think it's time to take a look at some of the things that they need to do as far as to get this right. And man, I tell you, Jordan Matthews, 11 targets, 6 receptions, 27 yards. That's 4.5 yards per catch. Got to do better than that. Dorial Green-Beckham, 3 targets, 1 reception, 11 yards. They threw a fade to him in the end zone, and Tavon Young denied it. I'm telling you, this end zone fade, this red zone ability is something that we all thought Dorial Green-Beckham would bring to the table, but it's not happening. And I tell you, you know, you want to see a bit more out of a guy like Green-Beckham. He was so good in college, and he has the size, the speed, athleticism, but it's not clicking for him. Nelson Agholor, 4 targets, 1 reception for 9 yards. He did draw a late pass interference penalty, but you want to see more from him. These receivers, this quarterback, they have to find a way to get big plays. They have to. Carson Wentz, 22 out of 42 attempts, 170 yards, 1 interception. That was a bad interception. Zach Orr stepped in front of the pass and picked it off, and that was early in the game. This passing game has to find a way to be successful. Trey Burton, 2 receptions, 2 yards, 6 targets. I tell you what, 3rd down, he's running a slant. He had a defender waiting to lay a hit. Defender's going to hit you anyway. Catch the football. He had a little bit of a business decision on that play. He let up a bit, and, you know, it led to an incompletion. And those are the things that you can't have. Those are the times where you'll draw questions about effort. And I understand. Trust me, been there and done that. Running that slant pattern, is you're going into dangerous waters, man, with sharks all over the place. But you got to make the catch. You have to. Trey has played well, so you can't really get on him too badly, but that's a play that you want to see him make. Zach Ertz, I think, is an extreme positive here. 6 receptions, 80 yards. Man, that 24-yarder he had where he ran the corner route, had the toe drag swag, excellent job. Excellent job. That's what set up that drive for the Eagles, you know. And, man, Ertz is coming into his own. He definitely is. And, you know, a lot of people question, okay, well, how come he only plays well in December? Well, if you look at the situation, the last 3 years he's been stuck with a new quarterback. Well, the last 2 years. So naturally, you know, as the season goes on, the chemistry continues to improve. So guess what's going to happen as the chemistry gets better? Oh, he's going to play better. So when you're on the same page as your quarterback, those different routes, you know, the Y stick, yeah, the routes like that, a corner route that he ran where Carson dropped it in the bucket. Those are the kind of throws that you're going to see more of because they're on the same page. The timing is down. So, I mean, look, let's just look at the fact that Zach Ertz is trending up as you go towards, as you wrap up the season and go towards next season. We know Carson Wentz is going to come back. We know Ertz is going to come back. So the two will be able to continue to work on the chemistry. And I think the arrow is definitely pointing up for both Ertz and Wentz as a pass combo. But the fact of the matter is they have to find more big plays out of this passing game. They have to find a way to put together explosive plays. And that's something that they haven't been able to do. You look at what the Ravens did. You know, they were able to connect to Steve Smith with seconds left in the first half for the 34-yard touchdown. Look at the way Mike Wallace ran the slant and Flacco hit him in stride and he caught it and ran another 40 or so yards. Those are the type of plays that you need. Defensively, they have to seal things up on the back end. That miscommunication between Jalen Mills and Jalen Watkins, you know, it was a cover 2 man and Mills had to carry Smith down the seam and pass him off to Watkins, and he did that, but Watkins couldn't get over fast enough, and as a result, you had the touchdown. The guys up front, you know, they have to get that thing going again too. Teams are not using the quick passing game against him as much, so there are opportunities for the defensive line, the front four, to get to the quarterback. They just got to do it. That's the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Just wanted to share some random thoughts about the game. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at @TDavenport_NFL, as well as the EaglesWire.USA.com. And then don't forget to subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on iTunes and Audio Boom. We'll talk tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.